talking with Dan Rohrig, president of the North Dakota Stockmen's Association. And first, Dan, as we were talking beforehand, it's been a little chaotic the past week or so as this details of the coronavirus outbreaks continue to escalate and unfold. And so from, I guess, a producer perspective, what have you been doing on your own ranch? And as representing cattle producer from across the state, you know, what just is the overall take on the situation?
Well, from a producer standpoint, we're kind of right in the same boat that many others are. You know, our intention was to market a bunch of steers last Monday and Tuesday. And, of course, you know, as the market tumbled, you couldn't hardly make the phone ring. So we've had kind of a frustrating thing. Our plans that we thought were going to be set in motion are not. So we still own more cattle right now than we were hoping. You know, we're seeing a little green ink in these futures markets now. We kind of hope the worst is behind us. As far as the markets go, I can't guarantee that because they're really, really erratic. The sale barns, you know, there were some sales last week. Numbers were way off from seasonal levels. Producers are, you know, they're just holding on to those calves because of the low prices and the huge market swings and the unknowns. A lot of these marketing plans have gotten kind of pushed back a little bit. And as you know, it's not like these calves aren't like storing a bushel of wheat or a bushel of corn. You know, you got to take care of them every morning and every day. They're just a little bit different product than what you had before. So those are some of the production trials that we're dealing with right here on our place. In the industry, you know, as far as what the North Dakota Stockmen's Association has been doing, we've been just busy as can be, dealing and visiting with our counterparts, visiting with our legislators and other people in the industry, trying to get our arms around what's going on, and also trying to, you know, do what we can to create a little bit of normalcy in this market. We've had lots of conversations as far as, you know, let's call it the financial end of this deal, and I believe there's going to be some sort of financial help coming out of Washington to help these egg producers that have really been for a chaotic ride over the last, month, let's say. We don't know exactly what shape or form it's going to be in. You know, there's talk standalone bills that can direct payments to producers. There's the overall, you know, $1 trillion stimulus package. We don't know how that will trickle down to egg producers and specifically people here in our beef industry. The CCC is visiting some of these things. And you know, there's even talk of somehow expanding some of these already existing disaster programs. Where this most recent set of events would apply. So those are some of the things that we see, Megan.
And so as you and I both know, Dan, while the rest of the world seems to be shutting down, of course, everything we do doesn't. And, you know, the Trump administration did declare agriculture an essential industry, you know, as of yesterday. And so has that really changed how producers are doing things, or, you know, life goes on the farm, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, life does go on. We see the rest of the economy slowing down, and it's causing some nuisances for us, you know. But life here daily hasn't changed a heck of a lot other than trying to adjust for some of these outside forces. You know, what we want to see is that our food production chain is maintained and is constant. On the beef side, of course, we want to see that our packing plants continue to operate, going wide open. You know, on the news, we'll see these pictures of empty meat cases, and I believe it's mostly a consumer-driven issue from on the hoarding side, or just So the demand is certainly there. And maybe it's not even hoarding. Maybe it's the fact that a lot of our restaurant trade is getting diverted to cooking at home again because of all these restaurants being shut down. We know that restaurant trade is a huge portion of our beef demand. And that, of course, has changed. All you have to do is drive down any street in any city of any size. And these restaurants and bars are not open. So the folks are cooking at home, and we want them to always have that steady supply of beef, and we want the entire food chain to remain safe and constant and full from one end to the other.
And Dan, I know it's always nice to leave a conversation on a high note, and you know, despite kind of this chaos in the world, there are a lot of positive things happening at the farm and ranch. I know you still got another month or two until you get bring new life onto the farm, but given the few days here and there, it sounds like cattle producers in North Dakota are having a good calving season.
Yeah, you know, we really had our worst winter was October, and, you know, those folks that have been calving here in February and March, I think are having pretty good luck. We haven't had any significant snowstorms. Temperatures other than probably this morning have been pretty moderate. So, yeah, it would appear to me that they are having a pretty good run right now on these early calving groups. At our place here, we're not going to start till the end of April, and we're hoping that'll give old Mother Nature a little chance to shrink some of this snow and, you know, maybe even turn some of this grass just a little bit of green and get the crocuses rolling. So that's what we're looking forward to on this end.
Well, good, Dan. Is there anything we didn't cover that you had in your brain or notes that we need to?
Well, I want people to know that those folks like the North Dakota Stockmen's Association and other ag groups are working just daily, endless conversations, trying to keep this thing operating normally and trying to get the help where we need it, whether it's keeping these trucks on the road that are moving food products and inputs for us. This is kind of an interesting thing that not everybody, unless it really happens in your world, you wouldn't be aware of this. But, you know, we're all aware of the foreign worker situation. And, you know, just think how international travel has been disrupted. There are some issues there that we hope settle down. I had my neighbor call me the other day who's looking for a couple of his South African workers to, you know, be back on his farm here now this week. And they were told their embassies are shut down, their visas are shut off till the end of May. So those are issues that we're addressing, we're looking at. And, you know, keep in mind if you know somebody whose current job situation has been changed drastically because of all these shutdowns, you know, they are looking for labor out here in the ag world, and so keep those things in mind. But that's a situation that, unless it affects you directly, you wouldn't be aware of it. But those are things to keep in mind, and you know, we'll get through this one too, like we have through every other crisis that we've seen in the past. Every one affects us in just a little different fashion. But we'll get through this one too, and we'll come out on the other side. And hopefully, you know, here's something I really hope on the coronavirus thing. I hope 30 days from now, 60 days, 90 days, a year from now, that we've actually learned something on and how to deal with some of these novel viruses, because I suppose we'll see them again sometime in the future. So I hope when the dust settles, we're a little bit smarter and wiser and know how to deal with the next one that much better.